You know, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but as you guys are going there, I wanted to say something. That song, before the open the eyes of my heart, and I just want to see you and all those things. One of the things, I hope people are seeing this. I cannot speak for others, but I can tell you the Lord has been here. He has been moving mightily in and amongst this fellowship. Mightily. We have seen long-standing problems begin to see people get free of them. We've seen people healed. We've seen people delivered. There's been a really mighty move of the Lord throughout the fellowship. And it's been an awesome thing to see. And I share that with you from this perspective, because at the same time this has been going on, there's been hard things that have come up. There's been things that have been difficult and sometimes troubling and a bunch of different things. But I don't want people to lose sight of the big picture. I don't want people to lose sight of the big picture. And the big picture is there's a gathering of strength within this fellowship that is going on. And that is happening because the Lord in his grace has not cast us off, but is actually raising us up. And so as we go through some things here, I want you to keep that in mind. The things that have been going on have been to prepare us for ever greater blessings that we can partake of. Ever greater blessings. You know, the Lord doesn't run out of blessings. Let me just tell you, he does not run out of blessings. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It's actually the preamble to our Articles of Faith. Anybody here ever read the Articles of Faith? Yeah, most people raising their hands. Yep. And I read them because I wrote them like 20 years ago, and it was funny. We were in West Palm Beach, Florida. Davey talked about it periodically, about how there was no crime and everything in this area where there's a lot of crime. And we're sitting out in just an abandoned lot. Just an abandoned lot. I mean, homeless people used to come hang out over there, and they had their own little places that they camped out on the lot with us. And it was not a lot that was attractive or anything. But we were down there one Thanksgiving. I remember we had Jamaican jerk chicken because nothing was open. And Mike Lombardi and I were traveling all over creation to finally get that. But that's where the Lord had me write it. Davey was there, and I was writing it in his presence and passing them over him as we did and the like. And long before I had ever written that, going back to when he first started the fisherman ministry back in the 70s, he had written a preamble, which was 1 Corinthians 1:10. And it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, anybody know for a moment before we go over this verse why we even have Articles of Faith? Anybody ever think about it? Why do we have Articles of Faith? In fact, when people enter into discipleship, we make people read the Articles of Faith. We usually go over them with them. And that's because these are the things we believe. If you don't believe those things, then we're not for you, I suppose. But if you do, then praise God, you found some people of like faith who you can join with. Now, some people may read our Articles of Faith, and for those who've never done so and who may be listening to it, I encourage you to go up. And I encourage you to not just read the Articles of Faith, but read every single scripture reference as you read them. Because I don't want you to take something as being something we believe because I say it. Doesn't matter what I say. The Articles of Faith are there because these are the things Jesus said, not the things that I said. Every single one of those articles are things that Jesus said. And see, Jesus' doctrine was with power. It was with power. Lives were changed. People were healed. People were delivered. His word was with power. Do you want your word to be with power? If you want your word to be with power, then look at this verse. Right? What's it talk about here? Now I beseech you, brethren. This is Paul, the apostle, speaking to the Corinthian church, which he had been the ones to, he was their father and the Lord. He had brought the gospel to them. And now he's beseeching them by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Think of it. Do you speak the same thing as your neighbor in this body? Do you speak the same thing I speak? See, if you want your word to be with power, you know whose word you have to speak? Jesus' word. You have to speak Jesus' word. When you go through and you look at those articles of faith, that's Jesus' word. That is the very word of God that's set forth there before you in the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And when you speak and live by and operate in those things, what did the Lord promise? He said, if you go forth and you preach the gospel, he told him, go preach the gospel, and he confirmed the word they preached with signs following. When they preached the gospel, the signs followed. In the church, and I've encouraged people to go back and listen to a message Davey preached about 20 years ago, which was on understanding spiritual gifts. See, the gifts, in contrast to the signs, are for the church. And God gives you a gift to benefit who? Others in the church. In other words, you have to serve others. You have to take that which he's given to you and minister it in love unto others. That's what you got to do. And those gifts are things like the gift of healing, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of different offices. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some teachers, it talks about over there. You want to walk in one of those offices? You can. It's a gift of God. You don't have to pay for it. Not like in the old Catholic Church or Anglican Church where you bought your way into being a bishop or something like that, said you could collect tithe money from people. Nah, this is something you can't pay for. But you can receive. Ask and you shall receive. Ask. It's a gift from your Heavenly Father. But those gifts that work in the church, then they're ministered because one person who has it ministers it in love to another, and another person receives, in other words, they have to submit themselves unto the other and receives it by faith. See, because without faith, it's impossible to please them. He can't honor it if it's not of faith. But as we learn to walk in Christ, his faith, which comes with submitting and agreeing with his word, enters your life and becomes the governing force of your life. Not your faith anymore, but his. And that faith comes in as you receive that word. So when it says here, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. See, when you receive Christ's word, then what do you speak? Christ's word. You get rid of all the other stuff. And what you speak is what he would speak. That's what you do. If you're not bringing his word to bear in a situation, then is it not vanity and utterly worthless? Think of that for a moment. Do you ever think of that? If when I'm speaking to my mother, my brother, my father, my sister, my child, my friend, my coworker, and I am not speaking unto them that which Jesus would have me speak unto them, what is it? It's vanity. Completely worthless. But if what I speak to them comes from him, now that word's backed by power and has the power to help that person I'm speaking to. If they receive it, then they're not just receiving an ordinary word, they're receiving a word that is backed by the power of God. Nothing short of that. 20 years ago, and some of you have heard me talk about it, when Lawrence was working at the plastic factory as an illegal alien in America without proper papers. Hey, Lawrence, sorry for telling on you. But that's who he was, and he was working there. And he said to me one day, he said, well, I know that I'm going to be a full-time minister sometime. And I said to him, you're not a full-time minister already? That was like a huge news flash to him. I said, look, Lawrence, if you will serve the Lord and speak his word right where you are, I don't care if it's as simple as this. That machine, if somebody comes to you about that machine and why it's not working, you say, you know what you got to do? You got to shut it down and restart it. And you know what? They can try everything in the world to make it work, and nothing's going to work except you shut it down and you restart it. And when that's the case, you know what happens? And they see that what your word is truth. And when they follow your word, it's backed with power and things happen. Well, people start seeking out your word. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what being a minister is? But if you're going to, if we're all going to speak the same thing, then that means we got to give up some things we've spent a lot of time speaking about, don't we? All of a sudden, our conversation, and I'm speaking of it here in the sense of the words we use as opposed to our life, begins to change. All of a sudden, every interaction you have becomes one in which the Lord Jesus Christ is present, and the only thing you want to do and what's at the forefront of your mind is how to bring him to bear in this situation for the person before you. Think of living your life that way. I can tell you, it can be very much the case. It can be very much the case. You can be in the midst of people who this is what the Lord's doing with them and not even realize it because you're too caught up in yourself and what's going on with you. I can just tell you. I mean, I can tell you, you sit around and you watch, you sit in my office, oh my God, it's like all day long. It's like a continuous, ba-doom, you know, one thing after another, continuous ministry without even a break to breathe practically. I mean, I'm finishing up on one call and there's another one. And then the client calls and I got to deal with that thing. And then somebody else calls. It's continuous. Continuous. And frankly, for the most part, that's been my life for years, wherever I've been. Been a wonderful blessing. Can be done. Even as an attorney, even in the courtroom, even with your children, even with your wife, even with everybody around you. But you got to be totally sold out to him if that's what you want. That you all speak the same thing. And the reason is we're speaking his thing and that there be no divisions among you. Okay, divisions among you. What's that? There's like this group, and then there's that group. We used to talk about it out here, about how there were two camps. Remember, we used to talk about two camps? Robin, you'll remember very clearly, Davey. It was very obvious there were two camps at the ranch for a long time. It's not supposed to be that way. The Lord wants there to be one camp, just like there's one body. All right? There's not what's going on here in Texas, and then people in South Carolina don't count. No, people in South Carolina count. Not just people in America that count. No, people in Africa count. Not just in everyone. Why do you think Charlie's going to Africa? Because they count. They count. And not only that, Charlie counts. And this is a ministry the Lord's called him to. So praise God, he's embraced joining with that. He's embraced it. The Lord's going to bless him. Charlie's going to be a different man. You're going to see. You're going to be a different man. It's not easy to see right now, but he's going to be a different man. You like that idea, Karen? Amen. Karen's going to be a different woman. See, we're all going to be different. Why? Because we're going to be more like him. So, Charlie, have you been going through some hard stuff here lately? Yeah, he's been going through some things. As he said, I know, I've been a part of some of those things. Praise God. But they're all things that are preparing you for the things the Lord has for you. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. No divisions. No divisions. We should be speaking the same things. We should be on the same page. We should not be operating in any way that is contrary the one to another, but rather for one another. And not for one another and after one another's flesh. Our flesh stinks. It's been the thing that's been creating problems with us for our whole lives. Our whole lives. Is there a day that your flesh hasn't been creating problems for you? I can tell you there's not a single one that's ever happened that your flesh hasn't been creating problems for you. It's how your flesh is every single day. It creates problems. It's what your flesh is. So no, that's not what we're joining with. That's not what we're supporting. What we're supporting is that soul, that spirit that Christ came to save. And that new creature that is in Christ Jesus. The old creature sometimes needs a little help dying. He doesn't die easy. So sometimes we got to say some things that to the person might seem like division or being against them. It's not. It's against their old man, and their old man screaming at you while you're doing it. Praise God, if you love them, you'll do it anyways. Because you love them. You can see what's giving them the problem. So you intervene on their behalf. It's a wonderful thing. It's a lot like being a sewer worker, because the old man's corrupt. He's corrupt. He's nasty. So it's a real lot like being a sewer worker. Who likes being a sewer worker? See, I talked a couple weeks ago, or something the last couple weeks, about how we're talking about the people at Joy and people like I've seen guys taking our honey pot, which is carrying anything but honey in it, with Joy. Right? I was talking about that. See, what happens is that when you're ministering, you're a lot like that. Your daily bread is like being that sewer worker taking the crap away. It's exactly what it is. You're helping people get shed of the things that hurt them, and you're helping to build them up in those things that are faithful and true and holy and righteous and just. Which, of course, is exactly what our old man hates. That's why I used to say when people came into my office, the idea was nobody wanted justice. They wanted to win. What are you talking about, justice? I don't want justice. I want to win. I had one client who was honest with me. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, because I used to say to Robin years ago, I should put in something over my door which says liar's entrance. Because when people come in, especially in divorce, first thing they do is start lying to me. So I'd be listening to them, and I'd call the other attorney. And they go, I'd say, I got such and such in my office. What's going on? And they say, they tell me all these other things. And I'm like telling my client, is that true? Yes. Why didn't you tell me? I don't know. Getting down to the truth is the only way I could help them. If I'm going to walk into court believing the things they're telling me and they happen to be lies, then I find, and the judge is the one who finds out it's a lie, how's that going to help my client? I better know it's a lie before I ever get there. I better know what the truth is before I ever get there. Truth sometimes stinks. It testifies against us. We don't like it. Got to learn to love it. You got to learn to love it. When you start loving the truth, you know what? There's no divisions. There's no divisions. Because you're both cleaving to the same thing. What's there to be divided about? You both want the same thing. What's there to be divided about? And you know what's the amazing thing about Christ as compared to everything in the world? Is we all get to get, we can all get it. It's not like, oh, well, yeah, that person got it. I can't get it now. They got healed. All the healing's gone. It's done with. Oh, that person got delivered. It's all done with. I guess you can't pray for me either. Oh, that person is an apostle. There can never be another apostle. I'm done. That person's a prophet or a prophetess. I guess, like, bummer. They passed me. I can't get there. That's not how it works in the Lord. That's not how it works. But remember when Moses and Joshua in the time when the anointing came down on the 70 and they were two of them were prophesying outside the camp, and Joshua's a pretty cool guy, but Joshua comes up, Moses, you won't believe it.
there are two people prophesying outside the camp. Can you believe it?
Moses said, I wish to God all the Lord's people were prophets. Hello. See, there could be 71. There didn't only have to be 70. There could be 72. You follow me? There's room for all of us at his table in all the fullness of God. Get shed of the notions about what you can't get it. Yes, you can. And I want you to get it. It's my whole thing. I want you to get it. I mean, I want to get it too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't mean to say that I'm like just so unselfish that way. Yeah. No. I've been in that place. I don't know if some of you have been in that place where you see everybody passing you by and you're kind of at a pity party. Everybody else is going to get it and I'm not going to get anything. Have you ever felt that way? Bob's one who has it. I don't know about Bob. Bob just must be going like this. You've got his fingers in his ears, his eyes, hands over his eyes, going blah, 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 blah. Because if you look and you see and you're honest with yourself on where you are, a lot of times you feel like, oh, crap, man, I'm in a really sorry place. These people seem to be happy. These people seem to be getting stuff. These people seem to be blessed. But me, poor, pitiful me, I'm getting nothing. Well, that's a pity party, and you gassed it off, and you say that's stupid and ignorant and ridiculous and every other thing, and you go, Satan, shut up. I'm going to get it. Every bit of it. I'm not going to lack for anything. That should be your prayer. Declare war on that stupidity. Sometimes you got to acknowledge that you're stupid first, which can be hard. I'm stupid. No, I'm not. I'm really pretty smart. No, you're stupid. Just get over yourself, all right? So, you get rid of divisions here. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be, oh, now look at that word, perfectly. That has to be a typo, isn't it? I mean, surely, your guy's Bible doesn't say type, but perfectly, does it? Your guy's Bible says perfectly, too? Does everybody's Bible say perfectly? You mean it's not a typo? You mean this is really like something we can do? You got to be kidding me. Really? We can, what did that say? That there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined to get perfectly joined together.
Not only that ye is in italicized.
Yeah. That's right. But that ye be perfectly joined together, which ye, the ye or the that? That's the one. So, but ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's how we're supposed to be perfectly joined together. Think of that for a moment. Perfectly. Has that been where we've been at? Perfectly joined. It's a preamble. It's like we didn't even get into the Articles of Faith when you're in our up on our website. This is the preamble. And this is what it's saying. Maybe we need to go back and read the preamble again and kind of start over on some things. Not from the standpoint that we haven't come somewhere. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean it from that perspective. But, you know, it's good to go back to the source. It's good to go back to the fundamentals. You know, it's funny. If you watch athletes and the like, one of the things is they go through slumps. Most athletes go through slumps at some time where somehow or other they're a baseball player. They're not hitting the ball as well. They're not hitting the spots if they're pitching or whatever. You go through a slump. And you know what you do when you go through a slump? You go back to the basics. You kind of start over. All right, how did they teach me? All right, this is how I go about it. And you just go through step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, step six, step seven. And you go over it, and you go over it, and you go over it, and you go over it. And you trust those fundamentals that got you into, like, the big leagues to begin with. You trust them. And you go back to them, and you just start again. And it's amazing how when you do that, all of a sudden those fundamentals that were true then, you find are true now. And as you find that they're true now, all of a sudden you start seeing the same things you had before, but now the beauty is even stronger because you have all of that experience that you can now draw on and build upon those fundamentals with. And see, we can be joined together perfectly in the same mind, perfectly joined together in the same mind. Whose mind is that? Oh, wait a second. Why do we need that? Because our carnal mind is what? It's the enemy of God. The carnal mind is the enemy of God. So, wait a second. If our carnal mind, that's the one that we come by naturally, okay? If that one is the enemy of God, but wait a second. I mean, my carnal mind got me into an Ivy League school. My carnal mind. I don't know about your carnal mind, but my carnal mind got me into an Ivy League school. And then I graduated. I was like one of the top students. What about you? See, that was my carnal mind. And then I got into one of the best law schools. In fact, when I graduated college, they created a special position for me at a big company called General Mills that they'd never given to anybody graduating from college. They gave it to me, and they were very pleased with me and wanted to keep me. My carnal mind got me all of these things. And then I quit, and I went to law school. And you know what? My carnal mind got me to graduate magna cum laude at a really fine top school in the nation. And then it got me to get into a job at one of the best law firms in the whole world. My carnal mind is awesome, though, right? I mean, I know so much. Can any of you compare to my carnal mind? Ooh, but what did I have to do with my carnal mind? And not forgive it, I had to bury that sucker. I cast that sucker down. I tell you what, my carnal mind has so many steel boot marks on it and kicks in the you-know-what. That thing is broken. It looks like it's been in, you know when they have like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas, when they're bashing the guy's head in with a bat, you know, that's gross, makes you wince and turn away. Okay, I can tell you what, and it's like you would have thought they would have stopped when the guy died, but they just keep hitting it like 15 times more. And you're like, oh my God, there's nothing left of that thing. You ever seen that movie? I mean, I can't even watch it again because it was nasty. But you know what? That's like a day in the life of my carnal mind. That's a day in the life of my carnal mind. How about yours? See, when my carnal mind, because I realized that my carnal mind had led me to the exact wrong conclusions on everything. Why? It's the enemy of God. Of course it would. Wouldn't lead me to anything that was in accordance with God's word. Not a one thing. Not one. Not even one. There was no good thing in it. Nothing. So I happened to realize that right up front. Major blessing, I got to tell you. It was a wonderful blessing. So I buried that sucker. Buried him. Forgot it all. I mean, it's hard to imagine because I don't know anybody else who's ever had this experience. But because I literally did forget. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. I couldn't even remember. I couldn't bring myself to remember things that just a few months before had been the entire object and focus of all of my attention continuously for years. I couldn't even remember any of them. Couldn't even remember them. So the Lord gave me a 3-year hiatus. It was great. He let me have 3 years without, well, no, it wasn't completely true. I had to do some different stuff. But it wasn't until 3 years later, and wasn't that He brought my carnal mind back, but He brought back and redeemed the time and experience I had there in a manner that was suitable to Him. But see, I mean, that's how I look at my carnal mind. I hate my carnal mind. There is nothing I think I hate more than my carnal mind. I don't know that there is. I hate it. I'm like Joe Pesci on steroids in Goodfellas to my carnal mind. And it's pretty much a nigh unto everyday experience. Right? Because I don't want it. I mean, with all vehemence, I don't want any part of it. I ask you, see, if we're going to be perfectly joined together in the same mind, how do you treat your carnal mind? Do you even know, distinguish between your carnal mind and the mind of Christ? Even think about it. See, most people are so at home with their carnal mind, they don't even realize how much it rules them. They don't even realize it. Don't even realize it. And yet it's the enemy of God, and it's right there with you every day. You don't want to be cozy with it. So if you don't know how to distinguish between your carnal mind and the mind of Christ, ask the Lord to show you. But before you ask him to show you, just kind of like we've done the demonstrations with the light switch, right? So I'm going to do it again here for a moment. I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to go like this. I'm going to turn the light out. It's dark in here now, folks. You guys out there can't tell, but it's dark in here. Abigail, do you know how I turned off the electricity? Do you know? Do you have any idea how I did it? You know how to hit the light switch, though, right? You know how to hit the light switch? I mean, look, you've worked with, what are those boards called that we have that we've done? Breadboards. My children, little Abigail at 6 years old, has worked with breadboards and electricity. But you know what? She's worked with those, and lights have gone on, and things have happened. But does she have any clue how electricity works? No. So let me let you on a little secret. This doesn't require any smarts at all. You want to know something you can do that will be beneficial to you that doesn't require any smarts? Abby, would you like to know something that doesn't require any smarts? You don't have to have any smarts at all to use this? Any more than it did to turn that light switch? Would you like to know? It's a little secret. You can go like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that carnal mind, and I cast it down in the name of Jesus, and I trot it underfoot, and I refuse to give it any place in my life. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I put on by faith that mind of Jesus Christ, and I thank you, Lord. How smart do you have to be to do that? Anybody have to be real smart? You know, we talk about trading my sorrows. How about trading my mind? My carnal mind for your mind. My carnal mind for your mind. Uh-oh, things aren't going so well. Lord, my mind seems to be worried. My mind seems to be this. Well, wait a second. God gave us a clear, didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So what are you doing? That carnal mind and the demonic spirits around you and the like are coming back to haunt you and give you troubles. So what do? You take authority over it. I don't want that. That stinks. That sucks. That's painful. That's torment. That's ugly. That's not blessed. I refuse to accept that. I take authority over that old carnal mind, and you devil, because he gave us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the devil, right? I take authority over you, sucker. I bind you up and I cast you down. I trod you underfoot and I put on by faith that mind of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your power. Wow. You know, you do that and it's amazing. You're like Joe Pesci and Goodfellas, except the beauty of it is you don't get made at the end like he did. If you saw the movie, he got made, which meant he got killed by one of his friends. Okay? You don't have to get made that way. And he says, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. See, it's amazing how people like to keep their own private judgments of things. You ever notice that? You know why we like to keep our own private judgments? There's only one reason. You know what it is? It all comes down to one thing. Any idea? Pride! I got a pride guy. There he is. Give Carter an attaboy. Carter, our old hound dog, got an attaboy. Praise God. Our poodle missed it, but our hound dog got it. And the hound dog's not very fast. That was pretty good. So that's the truth. It's pride. Why? What happens? See, it says only by pride cometh contention. See, when people are operating in their own judgment rather than in the judgment of Christ, you have contention. That's what you get. And it stinks. But the thing is, people like it. Why? Because they like their own judgment. They think it's better than your judgment. Well, the fact of the matter is, when you recognize your judgment stinks and the judgment you want is Christ, what did Jesus say? He didn't judge things himself, but the Word will judge you, right? Comes back, speak all the same things. This was the preamble to our articles of faith. The articles of faith lay out our Christian doctrine and stuff like that. We should be striving for. And what I didn't go through tonight, and I'll take you to one other place just to show you some. Turn to John 17. And I'm going to take you down to let's see, where is it? Verse 11. I'm just going to read verse 11 for now. This is Jesus praying shortly before he was to be arrested and tried and killed. And he's praying unto his father, and he's talking about the 12. And he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Whoa, wait a second. Jesus and his Father were one, right? He's now talking about the 12, and if you read the next verse, he has to then explain why Judas isn't with him, and that's because he's the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But the other 11 he kept in God's word while he was here. And now he's praying that in the exact same way that he was one with his Father, these 11 are going to be one with he and his Father. Wow. Now let's skip down to another verse I want to read, which is verse 20. And this one hits on something that's also really cool that relates to this. So here we had the 11 over there in verse 11. Huh. Kind of nice the way that came out. Symmetrical. But we get over here to verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone," because up until that point he was praying for those 11. Now he says, "Neither pray I for those for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." See, now if they're one with Jesus and the Father, just as Jesus was one, then their words, you need to what? Listen to them. You know why? Because they're not man's words. Whose words are they? God's word. Ah. And so he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all," whoa, wait a second here, now he's going beyond the 11, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." See, you wonder why we haven't had more people come into this fellowship? Because we haven't been standing in that place. How are people to believe? People will join a social club. If you're trying to join a social club, would you join this church, this body, Bob? Is this what you would choose, Cheryl, if you were joining a social club? Like, man, they are just a hoot, man. Those are the best people in the world. They are awesome. I mean, they got everything, right? And people are looking at me like I'm an alien saying stuff like this about us. It's because that's about how people would think. See, many churches are big, not because they're of God, but because they're social clubs that people think are worth joining. They're going to get something from it. Maybe they'll get some more business because that's a place where the wealthier people go. Or maybe they'll get something else. They're all about things like this that they can get. Well, is that what Jesus came around offering? Did Jesus come around offering, "Hey, you know what? You're going to have mansions on earth." Oh, wait a second. He didn't say that. That first song we sang, you know, "My Hope Is Not in This Life," right? We sang a song like that, right? So where's that mansion? It's in heaven. And he says people gave up houses, right? And they gave up brothers, and they gave up sisters, and they gave up wives, and they gave up children for his sake. Ah, wait a second. Wait a second. Why would anybody do that? Because they got something far better. And they're not going to know that there's something far better unless you're one with Christ. When you are one with Christ, then people will see Christ. And when people see Christ, you can't help but know that there's something better. Let me ask you something, Corey. When we went out and I talked to you this past summer and stuff like that, did you think I had something that might be worth getting? Yeah. But later? I know I've got something worth getting. I know I do. There's no question about it in my mind. I remember one time I was down ministering in the streets of New Orleans. Gail and those guys remember this. And I passed by these few young drug dealers on the street down there. And I stopped and I was talking with them. And this one guy says to me, he goes, that boy, he won't give up dope and stuff like that. He smokes way too much dope and everything. He's not going to give that up for that. I said, if he knew what I knew, he'd give that up in a heartbeat, because what I got is a lot better than what he's got. And I asked him, I said, hey, son, I said, tell me something. What do people say you can do? And he looked at me, he goes, nothing. I said, that's a lie. I said, that is a lie. I said, don't you let anybody tell you that. I said, because you can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth you. Don't you let anybody tell you a lie like that. And I remember I said to him, I bet you got a grandmother is home praying for you about right now. He looked down. I said, yeah, it's right, isn't it? Look down. I said, yeah. I said, I just want you to know that the Lord loves you. The world may have rejected you, but the Lord loves you. And there's a place for you in him. It's true of all of us, folks. And you believe on this word that I am speaking to you, Jesus' prayer that you will be one with him and with his Father. And you know what? Then you and I are going to speak the same thing. We're going to speak the same thing. And you know what? We're going to rejoice together. We're going to have fellowship together in the Spirit. Doesn't matter what comes our way. Jesus is bigger than it all. And that's what the promise is here, folks. But you got to be willing to get shed of your notions and join with his. Got to put off that old carnal mind and put on his. And then we reach the place, which I'll just finish with this. It's in Ephesians 4 where he says this. I'll just read it down to you. And I'm not going to go into them in detail, but I want to hit a couple of points. And he gave some apostles, verse 11, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting. Gosh, there's that word again, perfecting. Last time it was perfectly, now it's perfecting. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, there's only one faith. There's only one knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, singular, not unto a perfect men, unto a perfect man, singular. A perfect man. That perfect man is the body of Jesus Christ. And that body of believers who are one with him and with his Father. That's the body that's perfectly, what did it say? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I began this message today talking about how we'd sung that song, you know, I want to see you. I mean, you know, what is it? Open the eyes of my heart thing. I want to see you. It has in the verse there. And the thing is that I see Jesus in this fellowship rising up. I see him rising up. I see him rising up amongst us. Most absolutely true. I see us actually gaining traction in Christ Jesus. I see these very verses I'm reading to you coming to pass. I see them coming to pass. It's what's happening. And I want to encourage you to yield to that. To yield to it and rejoice in that which the Lord is doing, because he has something far better for each of us than we have ever known. And he says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That's you, folks. Each of you have something to supply to the other members of the body of Christ. Each of you. Each of you. and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase to the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And I'm going to just finish with these last two verses. This I say, therefore, now watch this, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth, in other words, prior to this, this is what they were doing. These were Gentiles. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You get it, folks? Don't walk this way. That's the way Gentiles walk by nature. High-minded, think you're something, think you got something, think you're better than somebody else, think all of these different things. Get shed of it. Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant. That's the mind of Christ. And he says, and testifying the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. See, being alienated from the life of God. See, people have received too much of the wisdom of this world as though it is something good and of God, and it's not. And what does it leave you with? Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They don't even realize it because of the blindness of their heart. See, we have brought too much baggage called our carnal mind and his beliefs and the things we hear out there that people say. I mean, look, and you know, look, 30 years ago, would you have been talking about organic food? Would it have been a blip on your radar screen? Would you have cared about all that stuff? No. But nowadays, what happens? We more and more of people talk about it. It was just as much BS 30 years ago as it is today. There's no change. There's no change. It's funny. I mean, I just throw something out about this. My mother and father grew up during the Great Depression and stuff like that. Food was awful. All of it was organic, pretty much, but it was awful. Meat was awful. The people were less healthy. The people didn't live as long. They had many different things. Now, all of a sudden, all the things that transformed things that were there for our betterment and stuff like that, now everybody's all up in arms about, and it's killing us, and it's responsible for everything. No, it's not. You know why the sicknesses are coming on people in this country? You know why? It's the diseases of Egypt, of this world, coming on people because of the rejection of Christ. It's all it is. That is all it is. You talk about cancer, you talk about it all. That's all it is. So what do? You take authority over that crap, you cast it down, you trot it underfoot, you beat its head in, you think of Joe Pesci and Goodfellas until it's freaking dead. And you don't give it any place. You don't accept that nonsense anymore. That's a false hope. You want a true hope, one you can count on, and he is Jesus. So I'll stop right there. May the Lord bless you, folks. We're going to sing a few more songs. And we'll be back here on Sunday at 11 Mountain Time, which is 1 o'clock Eastern for you folks. May the Lord bless you in the meantime. Father, we thank you very much for this night together. And we just pray, Lord, may you pour that awesomeness down upon us that we may go forward and show it unto everyone we come into contact with. And we thank you for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.